Welcome to Manager Tools. Feedback dialogue is stupid guidance. Part 2. This cast answers these questions. Should I have a dialogue with my directs when giving feedback? Does having a dialogue help performance? Does having a dialogue improve my ability to give feedback? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Hey, folks. We're coming to Silicon Valley March 23rd, 24th, and 25th. And we'd love to see you there. Come to Silicon Valley, see Mark, hear him present all three types of our conference trainings, which include Effective Hiring Manager, Effective Manager, and Effective Communication. 3 days with Mark, March 23rd, 24th, and 25th. We'd love to see you there. Sign up on the website, manager-tools.com, and come to Silicon Valley.
Okay, Mark, so last week, we talked about the fact that feedback conversations are misguided and
yes,
the reasons why. And so this week, I think particularly for those high C's like me who are out there, love the data. Right. We found that feedback discussions they're not supported by the data.
Yeah. And I will say a couple of things about managers who love data. I always chuckle a little bit. They say, you want to see the data. We want to see the data. I said, yeah, we share quite a bit of our data and we'll continue to share more of it. But it's always interesting to me that managers who want data in order to consider changing don't have any data to support their own approach at the time.
Right. Every time. Just, right.
In fact, I would argue that a healthy minority, maybe 40% of those people who say, yeah, I need data before I can consider it, actually just are defending their own biases and preferences. Like, this is what I want to do. I don't want to change. And that's okay as long as you're getting results and you're retaining your people. The second thing I'll say about data is the feedback dialogue community doesn't have data. It doesn't have any, right? They haven't done studies. Now, some people will say, no, I read an article where they had data. Yeah, you look closely at that data. I am astounded at what passes for data nowadays. There was an article recently, I think I just put this in Things I Think, which is a weekly email that goes out to all of our licensees. And it was a business article headline saying too frequent reporting can affect morale and effectiveness, I think, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, and it was something along the lines of, and it came out during COVID.
This was the 10-minute thing, right? This one we're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. And it says in the article, a study was done with college students. Okay, strike one. Okay? You can't say, okay, we're going to do an experiment and we're going to pay college students and then we're going to make some extrapolation to the business world. You can't do it. Sorry. And then it was only like 80 people. And then they said, okay, we're going to have a test. I don't remember the details. We're going to have a test and there are going to be two groups. One that has to let the proctor know when they've gotten to 30 minutes. And another where somebody has to raise their hand every time they finish a page, which is like every 10 minutes.
Right. The task was going to take like 30 minutes, right?
And yeah.
And how often did you have to report your results? Was it at the end of the 30 minutes when they review it, or every 10 minutes, right?
But look, the idea that you would be reporting every 10 minutes is just ludicrous. It doesn't happen in the business world. And the idea that you can then extrapolate, well, that might mean something. Yes, it might mean something.
Right. Well, yeah. I think they use this as an example of suggesting that, micromanagement doesn't work.
That's micromanagement, right? Exactly. Yeah, an experiment with college kids who are paid, by the way. So, look, we've been gathering data about feedback for about 20 years. We've never seen any positive correlation between discussions about mistakes, discussions, feedback, whatever you want to call it, in any form with improved performance. And we tried. Folks, we tried because managers and HR departments mistakenly believed it would be good. It would be valuable. We should do that. In fact, and we'll go into it, conversations, discussions, and dialogues always were negatively correlated with improved performance. The more dialogue a manager intended to have, the less effective the intervention was, and the less feedback they gave. And not just negative, but positive as well. Now, look, I just want to be clear, guys. The data we're going to share with you is not data based on an extrapolation of an experiment using college kids, okay? Yeah. Okay. Here. I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I remembered it, Mike, but I forgot it was in the show notes. The study findings derived from a behavioral experiment in which 87 university students recruited from undergraduate business courses volunteered to take a 30-minute multiple-choice test of critical reasoning administered via computer. As the students proceeded through the questions, all could monitor on their computer screens the passage of time and their total correct answers. But there were two important differences in the instructions participants received. About half were instructed to report their scores to an in-person test administrator every 10 minutes, while the remainder were only asked to report once at the 30-minute conclusion of the test. Reporting involved simply raising one's hand for the administrator to check one's screen and write down the number of correct answers, something done without comment. I'm sorry. The idea that the conclusions about this data from college students could be extrapolated to say anything about the kind of professional workplaces we live in today is risible. It's hilarious. What comparison do we have in our modern workplaces to reporting every 10 minutes? You compare this to a high op-tempo workplace with projects with 10 to 20 to 30 different professionals contributing deliverables spanning several days or even weeks, which is dumb. It's like a fever dream. It's just crazy. It's completely unserious. Whoever decided that they could extrapolate this into the modern business world is an unserious person. Now, they got published. I mean, you know, it got some press, and I think there are people who think that's a sign of effectiveness. And, you know, this is a case where science gets misused, and it's sad. So let me be clear about our data. Our data comes, we gathered data about feedback coming from managers giving feedback in the workplace to their own directs about real work, not simulations, not practice scenarios, not actors in an experiment. Okay, so let's get more into, you know, this particularly exercises me.
I can feel it.
Yeah, maybe we should have done a better job of talking about all our data. Anyway, all right. One of the first bits of data we got related to discussions, and there's a lot, you know, discussions and dialogues and conversations and making space and time. I love that phrase, making space and time, comes from our introduction of the first step of our present feedback model, where we say, you ask your direct, can I give you some feedback? Can I share something with you? Can I have a word? Can I make a suggestion? Okay. That's where we first started learning about this stuff, interestingly. Before we added that question, and for the record, guys, when we added it, just like all the other stepwise inclusions or changes to our model, we were testing thing in the wild because businesses wanted to improve and they wanted to try stuff and we were willing to try it for them and give them data about it. We didn't know whether it would work or not. Basically, our model had three steps for a while. Essentially, the managers would come up to the direct and said, hey, by the way, when you do X, here's what happens. And either thanks or can you work on that? Now, in some cases, they said, hey, I want to share something with you. Or they said, by the way, you know, whatever. But they weren't asking, okay? When managers use that model, okay, our three-step model, the average exchange with directs took about 50 seconds. By the way, that was light years better than what they were doing before. Mm-hmm. Managers would send an email and tell them to come by the office and they'd chat for a few minutes. So that was the average. 50 seconds was how long it took our three-step model. Was the average in three different studies across multiple companies utilizing data over 4,500 managers over a four-month period of time. So thousands of interactions, not 90 kids in a college. Now, that might sound good, less than a minute. And believe me, that was better than our previous model. Not that our previous model included a discussion of what happened, a review of the background. Again, guys, I'm just going to tell you, the lesson you need to learn, we all need to learn about feedback, is feedback is about the future. It is not an exhumation. It is not a postmortem. That's where we go wrong. That's what motivates directs to get defensive. There's no purpose You cannot justify a postmortem, any sort of inquest of something that already happened that went wrong. Now, remember, of course, we're only talking about negative feedback here. We leave out the positive feedback because literally the modern world thinks that all feedback is negative feedback because they don't know what they're talking about. You cannot do that postmortem without admitting that the reason you're doing the postmortem is to learn from it, to improve the chances that it doesn't happen again. And as I like to tell people, the future is the land of again. And until we get clear that feedback is about the future, until you make that clear to your directs, you're always going to struggle and your directs are always going to believe it's a postmortem. It's a, you know, triple M conference. I always forget the third M, mortality, morbidity, whatever. Maybe it's just M&M, which is a doctor's term. So it might sound good, less than a minute, okay? And again, that was better than our previous model. But managers also told us that during their individual and group outbriefs, that the lack of some sort of introduction caused more discussion about the past behavior. In other words, they thought that like half of the time or some portion of that 50-second average, and certainly in the longer times, because the 50 was the average, so there are some people spending 2 or 3 minutes on it, it took away from the focus of future effectiveness. It's a wait. Directs basically said, I feel a little shanghaied here. I feel like, you know, all of a sudden my boss is talking about something. I've got to remember the situation and so on. The directs were caught unaware. They asked for clarification more often, and they wanted to revisit their misguided behavior. And they also told us that having to take nearly a minute on average to discuss a simple mistake was causing them to give less feedback. A minute.
Which is amazing.
Amazing.
It doesn't seem like that would be the case. That's a great thing about having data.
Yeah. So what we did was we added an initial question. And for the record, it wasn't my idea. It was somebody else at Horseman & Company. When we did, now remember something, guys. I mentioned two things that are super important here. One, all of the people that were doing this, all the managers who were doing it, had been trained on one-on-ones and on feedback on our model, okay? And before they started giving feedback or before they changed their model, they told people about it in advance. Now, I would argue that's a huge part of a lot of this data, okay? I'm not denying it, but I don't hear anybody else in the management training world saying what we say all the time, never introduce a change to how you manage people without first taking the time to introduce that change. Frankly, most management thinkers, most people giving management advice don't get into the weeds that way. And I don't know how you give management guidance and recommendations unless you're down in the weeds. I don't know how. Anyway, so we added the question. What happened was a great deal of the direct's interests in discussions went away. I would argue, again, this is not data, this is my opinion, numbers don't lie, but we spend a lot of time lying about numbers, and when people say this is what the data mean, I say, no, that's not what the data mean, that's what you say it means, and it may mean something different, but that might be a useful outtake of the data. But look, the average length of a feedback instance dropped from around 50, I think it was actually slightly more than 49, dropped to 27 seconds. And by the way, many managers I know think that's pretty slow. 27 seconds. I mean, most feedback that I give, 10, 15 tops. But here's the thing that was exciting. Managers were overjoyed with it. And I'm not saying the direct walked away like a zombie, like, oh, what just happened? It was a drive-by kind of thing. No. We had cut the time for managers that they had to take to give feedback, both positive and negative, in half. And of course, everybody's focus on negative feedback here is interesting, Mike, because if you really want to be good, you're going to give a lot more positive feedback. So this thing, whatever benefit you get from the negative feedback being cut in half, roughly, you get a lot more on the positive feedback side.
That's right. Well, people shouldn't get that wrong idea. I don't think you're saying, maybe you are, but I don't think you're saying that the primary objective here is just reducing the amount of time managers have to spend with their people. That's not the point, right? The point is that the longer it takes for a manager to give feedback, the worse it is for the manager, i.e., they're less willing to do it in the future, and it's worse for the employee. And the shorter means more frequent. And more frequent feedback is way better.
Yes. I'm astounded by this. And I will say another thing that works somewhat in our favor that is hidden to some degree in the data, but nobody else talks about either. We're willing to talk about the pluses and minuses of our data and the scenarios, is this issue of how often you give feedback and what feedback actually is. I think one of the big stumbling blocks for feedback, and we'll talk about this when we release our feedback data cast, which is coming up, is this idea that you have to have a case against somebody, that you're supposed to let your direct make mistakes and let them see if they can't work it out on their own. And then when you finally do give feedback, it's a bit formal. It's a bit of a conversation about an issue. And, you know, there's some delicacy here because I wouldn't want this to continue. There's it almost comes with a side helping of veiled threat. And that's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. In all high-performance cultures, there's an immediate interest in identifying anything that's not effective and talking about it and trying to make it better. That's why one of the things we're known for, and Matt Bentliff, my friend, constantly reminds me about, when it comes to feedback, sooner and smaller, not larger and later. And the question really becomes, how good are your results? How good is your retention? How effective is the organization? And from a manager who gives a lot of smaller feedback or less larger feedback. The problem is, everyone I know, every time I've ever asked, and when I ask, are you getting enough feedback from your boss? They say no. Who here wants more feedback from their boss? Everybody raises their hand. So the answer is managers aren't doing their jobs. In fact, you know, you and I have said, Mike, one-on-ones were developed for directs. That's what one-on-ones are about. It's about the relationship, but it's primarily about the directs because they lack the power of the manager. Feedback, however, the feedback model is for managers because it's the managers that are struggling to do their job relative to feedback.
If you're looking for client training with a specific team or group, we'd love to come on site and see you. Please let us know if you're interested in on-site training. And if you don't have a conference room that's big enough for a socially distanced gathering, we're happy to do a virtual training as well. If you're interested in either on-site private client events or virtual private client events, please let us know by contacting Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com.
Now, look, I want to continue because you and I could talk about this forever. Because to me, Mike, this encompasses our entire history. You know, the people saying no, that's weird, or I don't like that, or whatever. Yeah, you're if you don't like some of our stuff, that's okay. You're entitled to do it your own way, and we wish you well. We hope things turn out good for you. We don't think they will, but we respect your agency and your interest in doing it yourself. But if you think that giving 4 or 5 bits of feedback a year to one of your directs is good, and all of them are negative because you wouldn't want to congratulate them or give them positive feedback or thank them for just doing their job. I'm sorry. I love you. I love you, man. I wish you well. I'll give you the shirt off my back. All these podcasts are free, but you're doing it wrong. And there's a better way. And we've seen it and we've documented it and so on. Okay.
And we have the data to support it.
Yeah. Now look, guys, to make sure that the only outcome of that 49 to 27 or whatever it was, 50% drop in the amount of time. We measured. We said, okay, let's measure. We had the measure. And by the way, when we measure the amount of feedback, we don't ask the manager how much feedback do we give. We ask each of his or her directs, how much feedback did you get? And we measured the amounts of feedback given in the manager groups who used the 3-step model versus the 4-step feedback model, right? 3 steps took 50 seconds. you know, four-step took less than 30 seconds. Now, these test groups were smaller, about 500 managers using the four-step model and 700 or so using the three-step model. Managers using the four-step model continued to benefit from shorter interactions. Same thing, like 30 seconds. But they also reported giving more feedback. And again, luckily, we were asking directs how much feedback they were getting. That's always the standard, guys. Not what the managers say they did, but what directs say they heard. The four-step managers were giving 30% more feedback than the three-step model users. 30% more. A 30% increase with a 30-second drop. And by the way, it's a 30-second drop, if you will, but it's also a 50% drop. And you can't get it to a 100% drop because you can't give feedback in no time at all. I'll tell you, it's probably a little bit of a stretch, but having looked at all the data, seen all the data we have over all the years, I think this pretty well proves that the longer it takes a manager to give feedback for any reason, the less feedback in aggregate they give.
Yeah. That's my experience.
Yeah, so exactly. So and you hate it when you have to have a long feedback discussion. You hate it if it's negative.
There are so many reasons, but we're all busy. I am sure everybody listening to this podcast doesn't have a lot of extra time laying around. Now, they may. They could get more efficient. But just say people don't feel like they have a lot of extra time. And if the idea that giving feedback to somebody on something that is small, and folks, we're talking about small things here, catching it while it's small. Yeah. If you think you have to have a 5-minute conversation, or it could turn into a 5-minute conversation on something small, you're just not going to do it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't have time. They don't have time. Yeah, and I'm tired right now. By the way, it goes further. The data also showed us that managers who gave more feedback, when we compared numbers, gross numbers, also gave more positive feedback.
Yeah, that was surprising to me when I first heard that.
Yeah, managers who gave less feedback gave less positive feedback as well. Managers who gave less negative feedback didn't compensate in any significant number in any study we've ever done by giving more positive feedback.
No, that makes sense, right? Yeah. Well, it makes sense. That's the way people think about feedback is that it's primarily negative. And if I had to make a choice, am I going to tell somebody about something they did well, or am I going to tell them something they did poorly on that I need to improve, right? Well, okay, I guess I'll talk about the poorly executed stuff.
Yeah, and you would think, okay, well, I need to give feedback. Oh, you know, I don't like negative, so I'll just give positive. Nope, that didn't happen. Managers who give a lot of feedback, give a lot of positive feedback. Managers who don't give a lot of feedback, don't give a lot of positive feedback. They don't compensate. They don't change. The ratio doesn't change.
And just to be clear, folks, our view on positive feedback, almost all of you are not giving enough positive feedback. That's
not even close.
Yeah, right.
Not even. And the bar is way too high, and people are stupidly believing. I'm sorry, I believed it for years, guys, and I was wrong. That why would I give him positive feedback just for doing his job? And I always joke, I said, imagine if everybody did their job every second of every day. It would be, I mean, it'd be raining unicorns and rainbows. You and simply puppies, can't imagine.
Puppies not are, puppies, no. You got a house train, so yeah, rainbows, yeah. Unicorns. That's enough.
Yeah. So, by the way, there's a simple anecdotal way for you to mentally test drive this hypothesis. Suppose your manager had a choice in giving you feedback. Let's say it's negative feedback. And she can either choose to take 15 seconds or she can choose a different way and it's going to take 2 minutes. Which would you choose?
15 seconds? Are you kidding?
Everybody says 15 seconds.
Yeah. It's like, I know we don't compare manager tools and workplace to family life, but it's like when my mom or dad used to like chew me out for something, right? Like I got it. Like 15 seconds, I knew what I messed up. I didn't need the 5-minute berating.
Yeah, I don't need a diatribe.
I don't.
And I don't need an explanation. And in fact, at some point, an explanation of my mistake is talking down to me. That's what it ends up.
Yeah, like I don't, like I messed up. I made a mistake. I'm like I can't understand that I messed up. Like I'm really that stupid. I don't understand that I made a mistake. Come on. Right.
Yeah.
Oh wait. But the more my boss talks to me about it, and the longer they take, the more likely I am to actually fix the problem because the pain will be so bad that I'll never make the mistake again. And folks, a lot of folks listening, that's exactly what you think about feedback is inflicting pain on people so they won't do it again.
Yeah.
nah, it doesn't work. What they do is they avoid the pain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and pain avoidance is a tried and true technique, yeah. Right?
And sometimes that pain avoidance comes in the form of not innovating, not doing yes. things different, not trying exactly. to improve for fear of making a mistake.
Yeah, and look, I'll just say, we have a saying here that the plural of anecdote is not data, but if I can for once claim a massive pile of anecdotes nearly equating to data, those of you who attended our effective manager trainings know that when we ask that question, 15 seconds or 2 minutes, everybody says 15 seconds. Anyway, think about it. Think about that. The next time some popular guidance suggests you should sit down and talk to your direct for 4 or 5 minutes, and actually some of them suggest it significantly longer. These are people who don't understand organizational theory, who don't understand the need for results, who don't understand the limits of humans, and they think that everybody ought to be willing to have an in-depth feelings discussion. And the organization is not set up to do that. That'd be nice if it was a hobby and we were family, but it's not that. The next time somebody says, talk to your directs and you want to hear their side or hear them out about a mistake they made. Okay, enough. There's more data. Directs who get more feedback perform better and are more likely to be retained. Okay, now we agree this is not data about discussions, but we've already made the case that discussions take longer. And we full well know that we believe that the manager who spends longer giving feedback will give less. So how much better? Directs who started getting just one item of feedback daily from zero, irrespective of whether it was negative or positive, we originally assumed positive would help more than negative, but it didn't matter, improved their performance against accepted internal standards by approximately 7%. Now, by the way, guys, 7%, you may not think is that great. It's not but in human productivity, it's great. I mean, it's really great. If they got more than one piece of feedback daily, and sometimes two, sometimes three, sometimes four, performance improved by approximately 15%. And in some cases, as much as 27%.
Okay. So yeah. If organizational performance is an aggregation of all the performance of the people within the organization, yeah. and a company were to implement this across the board, you're saying that you might get 15% improvement in productivity and therefore probably profitability.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah. The problem is every manager would have to be doing this. And, you know, we took the approach when we started this company of we're going to put out a podcast and we're going to reach managers. We're not going to reach companies. But that's okay.
And it would cost you absolutely nothing yeah, to do that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
I might do that. Maybe if I had a company.
I have a paragraph in the show notes here about some disclosures about our data, and I've already mentioned some of these, but I do want to be clear about this stuff. Remember, in all cases, we were testing feedback, the model, on managers who had already been doing manager tools structured one-on-ones. That's not the average manager's experience.
Mm.
Okay. We believe, though we can't prove, that the relationship and trust that managers build through one-on-ones makes a significant difference in feedback receptivity by directs. But nobody else in our popular management guidance culture has suggested any such thing like one-on-ones in tandem with feedback to address the problem of getting our directs enough feedback. In fact, a book came out last year. It's silly. It's called No More Feedback. I've tried to read it 3 times. I am going to read it now. I have to finish it while I'm doing the feedback data cast because I do. But every single time I start reading the story about this author who was a postdoc, I think, in college. She might have been a teacher's assistant studying. And she's had a really hard time with some of the feedback she got from her boss. Well, okay. That's great. So therefore, you should, you know, to some degree, you should be free of that pain and suffering. I don't know that I agree with you. Sounds like your boss was clumsy, but I'll share with everybody on a cast my opinions about no more feedback. There's no high performance organization in the world I know that doesn't rely extensively
on. Yeah. Well, I don't think everybody's be waiting around with bated breath to find out what you think about the idea of no more feedback. But
yeah,
it'd be interesting to hear. It'd be interesting to hear.
Yeah, good. All right. Look, let's full disclosure about this data that we have. The current discussion about feedback in the world today is clumsy. It's filled with misunderstandings, false assumptions. Almost every guidance we read from others accepts managers' frustrations with the difficulty that they're having. And much of that is self-made. Managers, as I said before, wait to give feedback. When in fact, if you wait long enough, what you're probably doing isn't feedback, it's a warning. And it's no wonder directs respond differently. Managers are making their own bet on this. Again, we come back to sooner and smaller, not larger and later. As well, managers and the people who are purporting to give guidance to managers don't understand that professional performance communication must confine itself to behaviors. Too many managers inadvertently or advertently address intent, emotions, attitudes. All of our data comes from managers who have been taught that only behavioral feedback is acceptable. That's the only way you can go, guys. You start getting off the beaten path and you start giving non-behavioral feedback. You start waiting too long and so on. There are too many things wrong with it to try to solve it. But the gurus are saying, yeah, sit down and talk to your people. It won't work and you'll be frustrated. And look further. As I said before, the average manager still believes that feedback is about what happened in the past. It's not, and it never has been. So when charlatans come to you, say, we have a stress-free way for you to handle feedback about past mistakes, managers are like, yeah, I want that. The problem is that a lot of these folks, these guidance people say, yeah, you should probe your direct psychology. We're not psychologists, guys. You're never going to be a psychologist or a therapist or a psychiatrist. In fact, imagine that your boss thinking of him or herself as your psychologist. Doesn't that creep you out a little bit?
A little bit.
It's inappropriate. This is a professional workplace. You're not, my personal emotions are not your purview.
I just know I always react really well when somebody's trying to read my mind and tell me what I'm thinking
and why
I did what I did. It's like, oh, really?
Now, look, you could hear all that, guys, and you could say, well, our data really isn't about feedback. It's about effective management. And we'd argue that. And we have more data about feedback, which we're going to put on separate cast. This data, we thought we extracted simply for this issue of, sit down with your direct and talk about why they did what they did and, have a dialogue. And we think we'd win the argument, but we'd be happy to think that feedback data is in the same pool as effective management data because, yes, it is.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
Okay. I think this is a good stopping point.
Yeah. Okay. Darn it. We only keep getting through one of the things here.
But. Yeah, but they're long. There's a lot there. So next week we're going to talk about discussions about intent.
Oh.
And why.
Oh, I love this one.
It's kind of worthless.
I'm going to be in fuego.
Yeah.
Thanks, partner.
All right, my friend. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. So long.